Everyone knows about the wave of lawmakers that came onto the national scene 4 years ago riding on the Tea Party ticket. And there's no better example of that than right here in our own backyard with Senator Rand Paul. And as we come up on Tuesday's primary election, it's apparent that the Tea Party movement is still influential. But how has that affected the Republican Party on down the line as you look at state and local level elections? To find out, I called Dr. Scott Lasley, who's an associate professor of political science at Western Kentucky University, and he joins me now. Dr. Lasley, thanks for speaking with me.
I appreciate you having me on.
So, as we look at the primary election coming up, the most prominent example of Tea Party politics in Kentucky seems to be in the 4th Congressional District, where there are 7 candidates for the Republican nomination there. What effect have you seen the Tea Party have on that particular primary?
Well, I think what you're seeing is a Tea Party provide an opportunity for Thomas Massie to build on. To some extent, I think it's similar to Rand Paul in 2010. Rand Paul did not necessarily need the Tea Party to raise money, but what the Tea Party did was it provided him a forum to build from, and that's what Massie has up there. And if there's any place that I think the Tea Party is fairly strong and fairly intertwined with the establishment, it is that 4th District. And so he's been able to take that constituency, and then particularly since you have 7 candidates in that race, that constituency might be enough.
You're saying that more candidates has actually benefited the Tea Party candidate there?
Yes, I think Thomas Massie has clearly benefited by having 3 strong candidates. You know, I think Alicia Webb Edgington, who's currently a state legislator, is seen as a very strong candidate. And some people speculate, you know, if this was 4 or 6 years ago, it would have been an easy race for her, perhaps. Gary Moore, judge executive from Boone County. I think most people kind of feel that they're probably taking more votes from each other than anybody taking anything away from Thomas Massie.
So as voters go into that particular primary, once the primary's over, is there sort of a divide in the party after that?
I think there can be, and I think there is there to some extent. I don't think it's going to have a major impact in the short run up there because you're not looking at a real competitive race, that whoever wins the primary is still going to be considered a safe Republican. Now, if it was a situation where they had a strong, viable Democrat, certainly it could have some effect.
So it's something that probably won't have that much of an effect just due to the fact that it's a very conservative area.
Yeah, and the Democrats really didn't find a strong candidate to take advantage of any potential infighting. I think that for the most part, Republicans would have coalesced around a candidate anyways. Competitive primaries have been around for quite a while in different places. I think the difference now is that there's kind of a name calling the one faction the Tea Party faction. But if you look at Democratic Party history in the Commonwealth, they had 2 factions for a long time. The Happy Chandler faction on one side, and then you had the other factions on the other side. They were still able to win races. They were able to coalesce. They'd fight within the party, and then they'd coalesce around, to some extent, the candidate. I think what's a little bit different about this dynamic is that there's such a clear label to it and a broader movement attached to it.
Last year, there were a number of higher-up state-level positions that were up for grabs. What effect did you see the Tea Party have on those elections last year and then on the primaries this year?
Well, I think that what you're seeing is an opportunity for some candidates that maybe otherwise would not be able to position themselves as strong candidates. They're using the Tea Party movement as kind of a trampoline, a constituency to build from. You're seeing it down here in a state senate race between David Givens. He's got a fairly difficult battle from a former, I think it's Metcalf County judge executive, Don Butler, who has been able to become a Tea Party candidate. So I think candidates that may have otherwise been fairly safe are not so safe. I think you saw it in the Secretary of State's race also last year on the Republican side that you had Hilda Legge, highly qualified to be a Secretary of State, was upset in the primary by Bill Johnson, and he was able to largely ride at least significant amount of support from the Tea Party.
In that particular election, do you feel like the Republican Party coalesced around Johnson?
I think to some extent, but in particular that race, it was a situation where I don't think he was fully prepared or had the apparatus around him to take advantage. I had a tough time raising money, and that's the one thing the Tea Party in Kentucky has not been terribly successful at, is raising money. If you look at Senator Paul in 2010, a lot of his money came from outstate.
So you're saying there's a larger amount of Tea Party support perhaps outside of the Commonwealth than there is within it?
Yeah, I think overall there probably is. I mean, there's strong pockets of Tea Party support in Kentucky, particularly the 4th District. And I think what you see in the 4th District is a lot of the Tea Party have been involved in politics. You know, the names that are aligning themselves have been active in the Republican Party for 10, 20, 30 years.
So as you look further down the ticket and you look at more local level elections, have you seen a lot of candidates running on a Tea Party ticket there?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some places you see it. You know, you get a candidate that kind of comes out of, in some cases, even a formal organization. For example, down here in Bowling Green, we have the Southern Kentucky Tea Party. Several organizations like that where you do see a candidate that comes out of there. I think you're more likely to see him run for state legislature, but it's not uncommon to see him run for a city commission or a county magistrate-type position. And then the success kind of depends on the particular context. But the other thing that happens to some extent is they kind of emerge as a Tea Party candidate. I think Marco Rubio is a candidate kind of like that, that there's nothing really in his resume that suggests he's particularly Tea Party. What makes him a Tea Party candidate? Well, he has wrapped himself as a Tea Party candidate. One thing we know about politicians is they are opportunists. They try to identify opportunities and then they try to take advantage of them. And you know, so I think the Tea Party provides that opportunity that might not have otherwise been there for some of these folks.
Dr. Scott Lasley, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.